So once we gather a bunch of data, we probably have to figure out how to keep track of it, how to manage all of the information that we want to glean out of that data. And there's a lot of different reasons for this, but it includes just storage of the data so that we can find it again, but also it's a traceability, our ability to back up and modify or update our information based on changes to the data set itself or to our understanding of it. The basic idea is that if we write it down and put it in a book, that's one basic way of doing it. But knowing which book to look at to find that information again or find the underlying data again is a bit more tricky. Now, in your organization, you may have a database or a repository or even an internal library to store notebooks and test records and reports and things like that, and some scheme of being able to find that information. But we also are tracking information about our products. Your product may have a serial number, a unique identifier of some sort, that allows you to track it through its assembly and manufacturing process, all of the test data that's gathered for that particular set of equipment, and then also its experience in the field. Has it been repaired? And if so, how many times? And what was repaired? What kind of warranties did it have? And so on. So tracking can take on many, many different forms, but it's one way to keep track to find the history of a piece of equipment or one of our products. Now, along with all of that information, especially when it deals with customers, is then it drives into the privacy side. So let's collect the data that we need in order to do the engineering work that we need as reliability and development engineers. But we don't really need to know who the person was that was using the inkjet printer. We may be interested in the weather about the printer when they were using it, how often they use it. But we probably, and I would suggest we really don't need to know what exactly they're printing. Now, we may be interested in, is it black and white or is it colored or some mix? But keeping it so that we can't identify the person, it may be a prudent thing to do. The point is that as you look at what data you're gathering, is then we want to be able to identify enough information so that we can have a meaningful input into environmental, into usage conditions, into performance conditions, into predicting failures, and all those kinds of activities. Yet we also have to obey the various laws of various countries about what data is collected and what uses it could be incorporated using that data. Now, we use plenty of different databases, and I shouldn't have to say this, but please make sure you have a backup system of some sort. Nothing worse than gathering a couple of years of really good life data from your products to have a hard drive fail, and then you lose access to that data going forward and have to start over again. But there's also internally, there's access issues and concerns that as the corporate databases become more complex, well, who has access to it and who can add information or edit or remove information all starts to become a quagmire of, in some cases, bureaucracy. But in some cases, it's due diligence as to which data needs to be available to which people. It adds complication to what we're doing with the information. But as long as we're collecting the right information and we have ability to influence that part of it, getting it into a database of one sort or another is often a necessary step. So it's part of what we need to know. The other part is that much of the data that we're tapping into, say warranty returns, may be used by the finance department for making payments for warranty claims, or it may be used by customer service to look at which customers and which areas are having problems with particular issues or so on. May be used by marketing to look at sales records and customer satisfaction type input. It also may be used by our development team and our work as reliability engineers supporting that product to look for opportunities for improvement. Now, each of those departments may have a different purpose to access that data and may require different kinds of information being gathered. The this is where these databases become rather complex, and you can include lots and lots and lots of fields and also have all these different purposes. When possible, we try to reuse the data that's being collected for another group, but sometimes we just need an extra bit of information that's just really not contained or of interest to the others. So some of these systems can get rather complex. Another part of this is, you know, we talked a little bit about where we get information, but the storage of that may be different also. So I mentioned if we're gathering information from a product, say from a vehicle, and it's when it's brought in for a checkup, you can gather information about accelerations and how far it's driven. Just the odometer, for example, is a piece of information, and it's connected to that vehicle's VIN number, vehicle identification number. So that's an external gathering of sources. Now, internally, we may have done testing and evaluation and so on for elements that are related to how often a vehicle is used. And part of what we're looking for is then how do we connect those? How do we relate what we found during development to what customers are reporting in their language? How do we connect that I have a sluggish response as a customer complaint, say on an acceleration of a vehicle, whereas internally we may have different terms completely about accelerations and rate of speed gained or acceleration parameters or some other way of describing it. How do we translate those and connect those? And looking through our data sets, we may have exactly the right information, but just not be able to recognize it. So another whole element of this data and the information that gets created from it is it may have different uses by, not department, but by level of the organization. So senior managers may be looking at summaries and aggregates and trends, whereas engineers are looking for details, failure analysis, for example. That maybe the quality department is driving at. The quality group may also be looking at perceptive or the soft data of customer satisfaction. And other departments may have very different uses in formatting or structure of data that in information that comes from it. There's a whole field of knowledge management. It's one last topic in this section, and it is the notion of how does your organization do continuous learning? How do you know what you know as an organization, not as an individual? So I've run into a couple of kind of standard systems and organizations. The most common is the what I call the legends and lore process of knowledge management. So if you're imagine that you're a new hire into a group or an organization, and the first couple of weeks you may be learning the ropes, learning who knows what, and you may have been given a schedule of go talk to Joe about polymers, go talk to Mary Beth about material handling, go talk to, and so on, and goes right down the list of people you should talk to because they're the internal repository of information in that area. And so one is you get to know the people you're working with, but two is you get to know who knows what. Now, another, and that's very, very common. So if Joe isn't available, you don't get access to that information. In another case, they recognized that keeping the information in the heads of individuals wasn't very efficient because as people left the organization, they walked out with a whole shelf of books, for example, figuratively. The idea of gathering and recording meeting notes, data reports, data collection, test reports, and all kinds of information into a large repository is another approach. I ran into a couple of those over the years, and there tend to be a great idea, but then it becomes way too much information. And so if I would search for, say, crack capacitors, I might get 10,000 entries, most of which are not terribly useful. So adding a editor or a librarian that can help you find the right information is often a good step. But knowledge management is a much bigger piece than just how do you capture information or where does it reside. It's more important that you know how to access it and that you can be prompted to find the information you need to find at the right moment. So it has an input side of how do we generate knowledge and put it into the corporate mindset. But then again, how do we share it, create awareness, and present the data at the right moment when it's needed by the organization? Knowledge management is a topic in and of itself that could span an entire course. But thinking through how you gather and then eventually find the information is part of this process. Now, data in and of itself is zeros and ones and some digits and numbers and some tallies and some maybe some photos and some reports and so on. But is it any of it information? Is it helpful for you to make a decision? Does it help you frame the question correctly or understand a failure mechanism or understand what's the rate of expected field returns or useful for finding out how many spares you need next month? Data in and of itself is a necessary part of gathering, creating information. And that's the key of all of these systems. Gathering and understanding data is really a part of just understanding, building information so we can make decisions. In the next section, we'll take a look at using some of this data in a little bit more explicit manner.